Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information on the news and links to the topics that we discuss in the show, go to our website at geeksone.com.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome back, my
geeks. Welcome back.
Did you miss us?
I miss you, John.
Oh,
welcome. How was your geek week?
Geek weeks.
Okay, wait, guys. I gotta go. I gotta leave. My cousin is graduating from the Naval Academy, so I gotta jump on a flight right now. I set up a holographic projector, and then Aaron, hey, hang on.
Aaron, where did I put my holographic projector? Was it? Hang on. Oh, ow. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hello, and welcome to Virtual Matt, a Mad King production. If you would like to ask questions to Virtual Matt, please press 1. If you would like to turn Virtual Matt off, please press 2.
All right, see ya. Have fun. Bye.
Two. Bye, Matt.
All right, so how was your guys' geek week?
It was good. I am in a Soul Calibur 2 tournament at work with much money at stake.
With money?
With money.
Wow.
Yes. And I've been knocked down to the loser's bracket, but I'm still in it. So
is there money in the loser's bracket?
Yeah, the way it works is you're in the winner's bracket until you lose one match, and then you drop down to the loser's bracket, and then you just keep progressing to the end. So
oh, I see.
The winner of the loser's bracket will have to fight the winner of the winner's bracket and beat him twice in order to win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
So I'm proud and still in.
My geek week was pretty good. E3... made a little sci-fi-ish short
E3.
Film.
Cool.
I'm almost a little geeked out.
At E3.
I had pieces shown.
You and your wives.
That's right. I did the Godfather piece. So
absolutely.
Which actually, I think it might be in the theaters here soon.
Really?
Very nice. The very same piece that you did. Wow.
Yeah. They're gonna. Though,
if you can see it, go see it. It rocks. And what was the name of the one?
It was really good.
Maureen did Need for Speed.
Need for Speed. That one was every bit as cool.
Yeah,
I would admit that it was more cool, but Aaron would hit me.
No, it was. I think the Need for Speed was the best one in the whole show, actually.
Yeah, I was
super into it.
I was blown away. Of all the movies shown at E3 this year, and there actually weren't that many this year, I noticed, in comparison.
You're right, there wasn't.
But your two were definitely the best.
Thank you. Yeah. But I think I'm almost geeked out.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
I think I'm going to like turn cool and become a jock and start dressing like hip and stuff. I just can't do the geek thing anymore.
I'm just going to start watching Desperate Housewives instead of Battlestar Galactica.
Can't we do both? Isn't it?
No.
Sorry. You watch Desperate Housewives?
I watch Desperate Housewives. That's a damn good show. You know, I can watch it just because of the cute girls in it.
Because there are none of those in sci-fi.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can't you do both, you know?
How was your geek week?
Well, I saw Star Wars and went to E3 in the same day.
Me too.
Which was so did crazy
I.
to do.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I saw Star Wars at 9:30 a.m., and then I went to E3 afterwards, and you never saw a more bedazzled geek in your life by the end of that day.
She's slightly stunned.
Yeah, I was.
Yusan, our friend Yusan, she went at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
To Star Wars.
Oh, God.
I heard that theater was packed.
I heard that, too.
I lucked out. I got out of E3, and I dropped on off, and I just went straight to the Arclight, walked in to see if I could get a showing. I got in.
Wow.
And when I came out, it was the greatest thing. They had a Chewbacca walking around.
Nice.
And all these kids were running up to him, and the guy had that sound perfect.
Really?
And the kids were so excited. They were just so happy. And I don't even.
And then they saw the movie.
And they saw the movie.
Crying.
Yeah, I went.
And they felt like they'd been beaten.
That's right.
I went to see it Friday night. I bought my tickets a week in advance with a whole bunch of people. We showed up. The theater was empty.
What?
Yeah, it was like maybe a quarter full.
Wow.
Strange.
Well, there were three theaters running. There was the Cinerama Dome, which was sold out for a while. Mm-hmm. Then there was the large digital theater that really sold out. And then they had the third theater, which was all the
the Weird Times. That's the one I saw.
That's the one I saw, too.
It made, I think, like $158 million or something like that.
And 50 the first day, which is broke the record.
That's one of my news stories.
Oh.
Well, that, done.
Damn! Okay.
All right, well, should we start on our news stories?
Yeah, yes. Don, why don't you tell us starting a news story?
Well, Star Wars started this week. How about that? Well, let's see. Opening weekend, it...
Wait a minute. You know what? We should introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
We haven't done it in a while.
That way they'll know, you know, right.
It's been kind of who we are.
Okay.
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a filmmaker, graphic designer here in Los Angeles.
Oh, me? My name is Lisa Lazick. I'm an editor here in Los Angeles.
I am Pete Robinson, and I am a writer here in Los Angeles. And now that Matt's not here, people will actually be able to tell us apart.
That's right. Imagine that. And I am Donald Marshall. I am also a writer and a video game professional here in Los Angeles. So.
Yeah, they don't confuse me with you guys because I'm the nasally guy who can barely get out of the sentence. Oh, yeah, we know which one Aaron is all the time.
If it's Matt, me, or Peter, it's just kind of a crapshoot.
Well, Matt's like
they blame.
Right between the middle of us, I think.
Yeah.
Like, so he gets confused on both sides.
I think so.
Nobody ever gets confused with me. I don't understand why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll pitch tone you down and so that you sound like a guy. Dude.
Thanks.
Put you through the Darth Vader filter.
It puts the lotion on its skin. All right, so, Don, how about news?
Well, let's see. I was going to recap the opening grosses for Star Wars. In the first 24 hours, it grossed $50 million, becoming the only film ever to do so.
And that was close to Halo 2's opening, right? Halo 2 made $50 million
in a day?
In the first,
Wow. Yeah,
24.
I know it probably. Beat Shrek 2's highest grossing day, which was the record before.
Beat The Matrix 2. According to this, the previous record was The Matrix.
The original? The other, is it Schlock sequel versus Schlock sequel?
Let's see. And for the opening weekend, it grossed $144.7 million internationally. Yeah. So, in brief, what did y'all think? Without giving out any plot points, because certain people here probably haven't seen it yet. So,
yeah, if anybody actually doesn't want to know about people's opinions on the movie even, you should tune out for the next 5 to 6 minutes maybe because we are going to talk about it. We aren't going to put any spoilers in. We're
going to do a full episode on it in the near future.
I'm sure. Maybe our next Geeks On episode will be a Star Wars episode. And if you haven't seen it by then you just can't listen to the show. But I'll give you my opinion.
What was your opinion, Aaron?
How dare you, George Lucas? How dare you?
No!
We can't do that.
You know what? I went in really... I went in thinking, you know, if it sucks, it's going to suck. You know, I saw the other two, and, you know, there's just no way. And I think I was tricking myself. I think deep down inside...
You're still hoping.
I really wanted... Because I came out really angry, and my wife was like, she's like, man, you're, like, really upset. And for the rest of the night, I was just in a bad, foul mood because of that. I mean, it was the last movie we were going to see of Star Wars, and it totally blew. I mean, Time Magazine says best movie since the first original Star Wars.
Oh, no.
Are they on serious crack? I mean, somebody must have done something to the Time reviewer because
money exchanged hands,
money or other services. Because I'm telling you, it was a piece of crap.
Well, I didn't have quite as strong a reaction as you did.
Yeah, I'm with Peter.
I would say,
how dare you?
I would say the first two episodes of the new series were not forgettable. They were unforgettable in how bad they were.
Right. Okay?
I would say the most recent one was actually fell into the category of it was barely good enough that it's forgettable.
I'd give it a 6. I'd give it a 6.
I watched the first two right before seeing the third, and I can tell you that you were right. They are almost unwatchable because I started to get a little bit of the fever. I can't help it. I got a little excited. There was Star Wars everywhere, so I watched the first two, and they were worse than I remembered, both of them. Although, watching them recently, I can tell you the second one is better than the first one.
Oh, is it?
Because the first one, it's like you want to fast forward. It's
Well, it's boring. The first one is
boring.
I just
want to
get
to
the Darth Maul fight.
Which is excellent, which is great, which saves that movie. But anyway, so I thought my expectations were appropriately low after watching those two. But I did get a little excited.
I liked the lightsaber battles. I just wish they didn't cut them quite so quickly as they did.
Yeah.
The camera was too close.
Yeah,
I
wasn't
couldn't see what was going on.
Exactly yeah,
what
that's
was
why
going on.
The first fight with Darth Maul, I think, is the best, having seen them all recently. Yeah.
Right.
You really could see the choreography, and it was a great duel.
It's because I think they actually got somebody who could do it, and they knew it, so they pulled the camera back and let it roll.
Yeah. I was very disappointed by their big new... You know how, like, in the first one, it's the two-handed lightsaber.
Careful.
And they keep trying to come up with new stuff. Well, there's new stuff in the new movie. There is. There's a new twist to the lightsaber.
Careful. Yeah.
It's not that exciting.
I got a question, though. See, they have this stupid explanation that there's one master and one apprentice. Mm-hmm. Why is it so damn easy for him to replace his apprentices each time? It's like, Darth Maul's dead? All right, I got a new one. It's like, you know...
Why don't you put 15 of them?
Why not? Why is there only one apprentice? Where did this stupid rule come from? Is this like the Sith training manual? It's like, you know... No, really, it's like, you know, I'm evil, but I'm going to not have more than one apprentice. What?
And it's clearly not that important if they're so easily...
No, where did this come from? It's like these stupid rules, like, the stupid rules, you know, the, what are these things that are like, that explain the
Force?
Midichlorians. Don't explain it. The whole point of the Force is it's mystical, not scientific.
As soon as you're trying to explain something, it just throttles the whole fantasy.
Yeah, well, the whole point of the Force is it's something that everybody kind of sort of feels and believes in.
You have to believe in it.
Yeah.
We talked about the director's cut of Legend last week, where the reason why the director's cut sucks is because he stops at every point he possibly can to explain what's going on and try to talk you through the magic, you know. And it hurts, you know. And I think our friend Mr. Lucas did the same thing. But we promise you we will return to Star Wars in the near future.
And you will hear an earful when that happens.
Oh dear. Once we can actually take the lid off the plot points...
Because I'm about ready to explode right now.
...open the floodgates, and hopefully Lisa will come back for that, because I believe she's sitting on some opinions right now.
I have a lot to say. I am holding my tongue.
Okay.
So is Aaron.
Virtual Matt Interactive, Subprogram 1, News. Xfire helps PC gamers round up players. For many PC games, getting a group of friends together to engage in online battles and such is a pain in the ass. So a couple of guys got together. Mike Cassidy, who's a former World Quake champion, and Dennis Fong came up with an answer. They call it Xfire. Now, Xfire has been around since January 2004. So I don't know if a lot of our listeners already know about it, but basically what it does is that it gets PC gamers together. It's a very simple online ability to go in and IM between friends, and it also lets you know when your friends are in various different rooms like Counter-Strike or Ultimate Arena or whatever. It's amazing because there is no advertising for this since January 2004, and there are nearly 1.5 million customers who have registered for Xfire since last year. The product aims to connect all PC gamers together, and it melds basically an instant messaging program with a web portal where you can download video game patches, demos, screenshots, video clips, other material. So it's fantastic. Check it out, Xfire.
I would like to do a news story that my wife actually brought up, sent this one to me. This one's cool. A Cornell team develops self-replicating robots.
I have that one, too.
You do?
Yes.
This is pretty crazy. These are little robots that are made out of these little cubes of all have identical machinery and chips in them, so they're like cells in a way. And they can actually detach themselves and attach themselves and actually find, if there are other blocks near them, they can find the blocks and put themselves together to make the exact same robot that they are.
So they can make more of them?
And they can make more of them.
All right, these are going to get loose.
Right.
And we're going to have...
Well, no, they need the blocks, right? So...
They need the blocks. But why can't you just tell the... That's not because we haven't programmed it with the knowledge to go and build the chip. But you know, that's just more information.
If they ever create self-replicating things, they should always have at least like two or three things that they can't replicate without. Not just like one control, but like several of them so that it's a lot harder to...
Right, we'll do that, but like South Korea will make the one that builds everything. You know what right. I mean? It's like, you know, there's always anything. Some country.
And then we'll be nuking the sludge, trying to destroy it.
Yes.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah. I'm afraid of that.
Based on this, it was a
Terminator.
They make Westworld. I can't remember. It started some woman. I don't remember her name right now. But they invent a breed of cockroaches that are supposed to go into the New York City subway system.
Maureen did the show open for that. It's it's called...
Mimic.
Mimic, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, so they breed these cockroaches to go and eat other cockroaches, and they put a time bomb in there where they'll die after seven generations. All of them just dead.
But it doesn't work.
And
it doesn't
work. How do they get
around? A couple of them survive because of genetic variation.
Uh-huh.
Like, seven generations produces something like 80 million cockroaches, and all they need is like... seven one to actually not die in order to keep propagating the species. So, anyway.
I hear it was a crappy movie.
What's the criteria for life? Like, do robots officially fulfill all of them now that they can reproduce?
Yeah, reproducing is one of them.
Wait, what did you say? Oh, life. Yeah, that's one of the definitions.
The ability to reproduce, the need to consume in order to sustain?
No.
No?
No, it has to... we're nerds and don't even know that.
This is humiliating.
Has to produce, has to react to stimuli, and I think there's only one other one.
We'll have to look it up.
Use cutlery. Something. Well, yeah, but you're right.
Two of them, I think.
Two of them are. Yeah, you're right. We've got two covered here.
Yeah, that's kind of okay.
There's no definition of life, but they're just indicators of life.
There is a working definition that we've been going with. That
no, but there is none. There is no definition of life. There are indicators of life.
The criteria of life.
No.
No?
There is only... You can't prove anything. Right now, you cannot prove what is living and what isn't.
Yes, you can.
How?
Well, the line is getting blurred right now because we have
robots. Some people wouldn't say...
that are...
Hey, the line is crossed. That's the reason why we have abortion clinic being... That's why we have...
You tell me one thing that's difficult to understand if it's living or dead.
Well, if this machinery that can get one more of the...
Machinery is blurring the line. That's what I just said. But before that...
But we're just machines, right?
Yeah.
So what if we come up to a planet that has machinery... that's made out of some like bio stuff. Would you say that's life? Yeah. Would you say it's life or not?
Yeah, probably
because it fits what definition?
Because it consumes, it reproduces.
So you don't have a definition, but you have some indicators.
Yeah.
No, there is actually a code of criteria that we've been working with.
Mm-hmm. I would say that when you're calling it indicators, I mean that's just another. You know, you could say with anything that the words you use to describe something are indicators. I mean. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but the difference is that a definition assumes that you know exactly what it is, and no one knows what life is. So all you can do is tell somebody, here are some obvious things that life does, and that's all I can do.
I disagree. I think that a definition describes something, and when you are describing life... Mm-hmm. You talk about, you're doing the same thing. You're describing it.
We'll see. We'll look it up and see if anybody really has a clear definition of what life is.
Okay. Do you know the Turing test for intelligence? It's the same sort of thing.
Right, exactly. It's you like ask
if,
somebody.
If you have got two closed rooms and they both answer the same questions and they have all the appearances of as the same as the intelligent person behind, say, door number one, you don't know what's behind door number two. Than they are by definition
exactly
intelligent.
And now they have computers that like can go for
that.
Hours and hours tricking people thinking that there's a person on the other side of the door, which means we're very close to tricking that test.
Yeah.
Or and maybe it's not tricking it. Maybe it
that would
you know make them
fulfill the test. Finally.
All right. Anyway, that's my news story.
Yeah, okay.
Robots are coming to kill us.
Me next. Okay.
Meeting.
My news story is about my two favorite things, video games. and film.
Yay!
And the two come beautifully together. Okay, you guys already know about the Doom movie starring The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's also going to be a Spy Hunter movie starring The Rock. Supposedly directed by John Woo, but I've heard about that for a while, so I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, there's a few others that have come to my attention that have much more impressive pedigrees. I mean, even more impressive pedigrees.
And all of these have The Rock?
No, but they have good actors, which really, you know, I guess Tomb Raider was the first really mainstream one.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, get a load of what we have.
Mario Brothers.
That's true. Mortal Kombat, that's true. But Tomb Raider was big budget.
Double Dragon.
Big star.
Oh.
Right, of course.
Oh, Aaron, you didn't.
Movies smell bad.
You didn't.
So this is what's coming on the horizon for video game fans like myself. Silent Hill, very excited about, because they allegedly this time are not going to just use the name Silent Hill, but they're actually going to use the story from the video game, and I think that is a first.
Mm. Is it a good story?
Well, yeah, it's incredibly convoluted and obtuse, but if they make a movie out of it, I'm sure they'll simplify it.
It was one of those first video games that really succeeded in terrifying you through mood.
Yes.
Right. When
and
that
sound.
Radio would go off,
oh my god!
I would
oh
like my
god.
Heart would drop.
Yeah. Mine too.
I was like, oh shit! All I have is a bat.
Where are you?
So this is being written by Roger Avery of Pulp Fiction fame,
mm-hmm.
and also he did that movie Killing Zoe, which was really good. Okay. It's being directed by Christoph Gans, who directed Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Good
director.
That was great.
And it's starring Sean Bean. And Radha Mitchell.
Oh, they pulled that guy out of the... Oh, Sean Bean. I was thinking of the guy from Terminator. What's his name?
No idea.
Michael Bean,
yeah.
Sean Bean is, everybody's favorite Lord of the Rings star.
He's gonna play the normal dad.
Yeah, it's the same premise as I think.
He's kind of kick ass for him, like a normal dad.
He's gonna get a letter from his dead wife saying, "Come meet me at this town," which was how one of the games started. So that's exciting. Then here we have Splinter Cell, directed by Peter Berg, who's a really good director. He just did Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
He also did The Rundown, and he is trying to cast Mark Wahlberg.
No, I don't like him. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, I think he gets a bad rap because of where he started out, but I think he's actually getting very good.
I don't care if he's a good actor. He's not Sam Fisher.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Tough character.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then lastly, this one I'm not excited about, but for one thing which cracks me up is the cast. Blood Rain. I don't know if you guys played Blood Rain. I haven't played it, but I've
seen it.
I have a friend who...
And guess what? I searched everywhere for that model at E3. Because I was going to tell her about the podcast.
Nice.
She was not there. Did you see the Blood Rain E3 model?
I don't know how I missed it.
I saw her on the floor.
What?
I saw her on the floor.
Oh, shoot.
But she was running at the time.
All right.
Okay. I'm a sumo wrestler. I don't catch running women.
It's starring Kristanna Loken, I don't know who that is.
She's the Terminator 3 chick.
Okay.
Oh, that's bad.
She stars in the title role, wait, get this, as a half-human, half-vampire driven to overthrow her father, the evil king of the vampires, played by Ben Kingsley.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, Ben Kingsley's a brilliant actor.
I know.
He would be great Nosferatu-looking.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you put him in Nosferatu type of... He would work perfect.
A friend of mine did the fight choreography. He came back and he's like, "You wouldn't believe what I just had to teach how to fight."
Oh, wow.
Really?
TJ.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
He wouldn't tell me anything because of non-disclosure, but I was able to figure it out.
Okay. I have an article on a new form of copyright protection, which is kind of...
Is it spamming all of us, Peter? Throwing crap into the internet?
Okay, I'm just going to cry. I'm just going to sit here and cry. You know, I don't do that when you're telling your stories. No, but when I tell my stories, you have to demean me. All right, anyway.
That's fun.
Well, that is true. So this one's actually kind of creepy to me, which is the concept is that radio frequency ID tags...
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about embedding them into DVDs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy the DVD,
mm-hmm.
they will take your identity and put it into the DVD so that it'll only play if you punch in a certain code. Okay. So in other words, you won't be able to lend it to your friends, you know. And I think they were even talking about perhaps setting it up with fingerprint, perhaps. But
oh, please.
Wow.
That's a little crazy. Yeah.
So, but you only do it once. Like once you buy the DVD.
Once you buy the DVD, it only works on your DVD player at home, and you'd have to have a special DVD player to play it, and you'd have to punch in a code so that you could watch it.
Right. In a way, that's kind of what iTunes is doing now. When you buy a song, it can live on 3 Macs, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is you register your Mac, and it sends that code back to... Actually, I think it embeds it on the song, but it sends it back to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play it, it only allows it to be working on those computers that you register it to.
So you have to register them when you buy them.
Right. When you buy it on a computer, it automatically registers it to that computer.
Okay.
And you have 2 other computers you can put that song on.
How does it know?
That's it. I'm not absolutely sure, but...
It works.
It does work.
It won't let you copy it.
It will not.
Well.
So, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I don't think it's going to happen either. I just thought it was an interesting story.
There's too many, like, you know, Xbox, PS3, all those are coming out, and those are going to be in people's homes for 5 or 6 years, and if it's not in that, it's not, I mean, you know,
who would
that's
buy
like
new
20
hardware?
Years down the line. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Virtual Matt engaged. News program 2. State secret, thousands secretly sterilized. It turns out, as of May 15, 2005, that we have released that thousands of people between 1929 and 1974 were sterilized. From the early 1900s to 1974, 65,000 men and women were sterilized in the United States, many without their knowledge, as part of a government eugenics program to keep so-called, quote-unquote, undesirables from reproducing. One of the most, the largest places that did it was North Carolina, which sterilized close to 8,000 women in hospitals across the state. There's a woman who's sort of the poster child for it named Elaine Riddick. So Riddick was raped and became pregnant at the age of 13. Social workers labeled her promiscuous and too feeble-minded to ever be a responsible parent. So after giving birth in 1968, Riddick was sterilized without being told. So now, 30 years after the fact, all of these people are finally getting reparations, and it's finally coming to light with some of the releases of the new state secrets. Kind of freaky. Check out the link.
My last news story, just because you already took my self-replicating robot story.
Sorry.
But I'm not bitter.
You can self-replicate the story and just say it over again.
I'm just bitter that robots are replicating more often than I can. There's something wrong about that.
The robots are getting more than you are.
Well, we say goodbye to another landmark in the near future. Laura Croft from Tomb Raider is getting a breast reduction.
Damn. No. Every time they come out with a video game, her boobs are getting smaller. And guess what? The games are getting shittier. So let's get some big hands on this girl and get the good video game back.
You know, she needs a like Dolly Parton as a sidekick or something.
No, red beans and rice.
That's right.
Wait, but didn't they get bigger and bigger and bigger?
No,
they were always
small.
Big.
Why are they
getting smaller?
Well, they're making them smaller in a bid to try and get the female market right now. That's
how about making a good game?
You know, I would agree. I would personally agree.
I know a lot of women that play Tomb Raider.
The original Tomb Raider is
great. The original,
No, you just need to write a cool female character.
Yeah.
You know, in a cool situation.
Well, she is a cool female character. She just has been getting shitty storylines and bad games.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, if you write her well, then girls will come and see it.
Well, you know, another thing is that every time a new game comes out, there becomes more, quote, realistic. And I think what they're also trying to do is just make her fit the environment, which is it's starting to look more and more
realistic.
Did
they ever actually give her breast physics, though, like some games?
No.
Because some games, they actually add breast physics.
Right.
Programmers work months getting it just right.
It's amazing to me. But
the controls suck, but the boobs bounce perfect.
Do any of you remember the first time you saw breast physics in a video game?
And you had laughed your ass off.
Oh my god, I did. It was for me, it was Dead or Alive.
Dead or
1,
Alive. Yep,
right?
That was.
And it asked you how old you were in the option screen, and the older you were, the larger and the more motion there was to the breasts.
And they bounced exactly the same time, like together.
Yeah.
They would just weren't right.
It was problematic because it was it didn't bounce correctly.
There's no gravity in
yeah. Right. So it was like the women are kind of bobbing up and down in a boxing stance, and the breasts are going counterpoint to whoever they go. So I needed Dramamine playing this game. It was wrong.
So it's but, like breasts, not so good physics, because it wasn't like yeah. any reality at all.
But now, I mean, like Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, which is all about women in bikinis jumping up and down and hitting right. balls, you know, it's. They've come. The breasts have come a long way.
That's right. Now the breasts are in the forefront of the game.
Leading
they
realize
that's what you came for. Yeah.
But in the new Lara Croft Tomb Raider, apparently, not only are they reducing the breast size, but they're getting rid of a lot of the traditionally skimpy costumes. Some of the new
no more short shorts.
Some of the new featured costumes they're talking about is actually such as a thick bobble-necked sweater with full-length arms.
That's wait a minute. So she wore a shorts, sleek
shorts
shirt,
and a tank top. Yeah.
All right, whatever.
That's not very...
I'm sure they'll still be, like, bikini double gun fighting. I mean actual pistols when I say that, you know.
I, well,
I don't know if you want to be running.
It's fine by me, but, you know, just make it a good game.
Well, I'm just waiting for the day where they do that same thing for the ladies, you know? A guy yeah. in a Speedo with, you know, physics.
They, yeah. Well,
I
mean,
package okay, physics.
I don't want to hear this.
They
I don't
did,
want to picture this.
You don't want to picture They did this exact same thing when they made Catwoman. They wanted to make a movie that that appealed to the girls too.
And it appealed to nobody.
It appealed to nobody. Like you have to do it without like. There's ways of doing this without eviscerating both audiences.
Okay, heads up to the video game and movie community. When you try to appeal to everyone, you do one thing. You make your product bland.
Yeah.
Please try to appeal to someone and not everyone. Thank you. Moving on.
Virtual Matt, subprogram news. So, clickers are coming to classrooms. They have a listing at Providence, Rhode Island, as of May 13th, 2005. Professor Ross Chite put it to students in his ethics and public policy class at Brown University. He says, are you morally obligated to report cheating if you know about it? The room begins to hum, but no hands are raised. And all of a sudden, behind him in a huge screen, suddenly statistical analysis of the entire classroom comes up. And what happens is that we have now clickers, which are coming to colleges and to local elementary schools as way of getting children and older students involved in classrooms without forcing it to just become a one-on-one discourse with everybody. They can statistically register an audience and get a real response, so they can actually get sort of a Socratic method across the entirety of the classroom. The devices, which students call clickers, are being used all over the place. In the hard science classes, the clickers allow several possible responses and are often used to sort of gauge how well the class is keeping up on the comprehension of course material. In other ways, they use them as ways of polling the audience so that it spurs conversation within the classroom. But it's starting to become a more virtual classroom, and it looks like an interesting thing. Check out the link.
I think our subscribership is going to skyrocket here very soon.
Yeah?
Because...
Oh, right.
According to the O'Reilly Radar, they're reporting that Steve Jobs did a little interview, and iTunes 4.9 is going to support iPod... I mean... what is this called?
Podcasting. What is this called?
What are we doing?
Okay, wait.
It's going to support podcasting, RSS feed podcasting. So
really?
Everybody who owns an iTunes will be able to search and scan for these shows.
For us. They'll be able to listen to us.
They will.
This is great.
That means...
more people can hear us ramble.
That's right. Which means we are going to be in... trouble with our bandwidth, so we got to figure out some.
Yeah,
but that's very cool. I mean, that not too many people have the software right now, like iPod or all those other programs to download the podcast automatically. I mean, do you do that, or do you just download them manually?
I've been downloading manually, but yeah. I do have iPod too.
I mean, I kind of go through and I do both. Like, I have some I subscribe to and some I just browse. But now, everybody who has iTunes is going to have access to this. This is going to be pretty crazy.
Wow.
So, we're going to be rock stars.
Rock star, baby.
Geek rock stars. Rock-a. Which I don't think is... I guess that's not too cool. All right.
Imagine our groupies.
Do you have another one, Lisa?
Nerd groupies?
I do have one more. This is for the... this is for the handheld market. As if we don't have enough from Sony, Nintendo, and now Game Boy Micro, which we will be talking about later. There's another one coming out by Tiger Telematics called Gizmondo. Have you guys heard
that
about
this?
That
was down at E3.
Yes, they got a release date. It's going to be August 11th. The Gizmondo is interesting because it's got a lot of built-in things. It has, you know, it's going to handle instant messaging. You'll be able to share files with cell phone users. And it has built-in GPS technology, ooh, Bluetooth, wireless. What's weird about it is that apparently it's going to cost too much. It's going to cost $400.
Whoa!
So to defray those costs, they are putting advertisements on it. Oh. This is at least what they're doing in Europe because it hasn't come out here yet.
Damn.
But they beam ads to it and get this based on your location because it's got the GPS in it.
It's so like they'll say, Report.
Yeah, oh if God. You're interested in buying this game, whoa, there's a Best Buy around the corner from you if you just turn left. Or something. Yeah, that's creepy.
That's creepy.
But that'll knock the price down to, I think, about $250 is what they're talking about, which makes it a little more competitive with everything else.
So how does that work? When you turn it on, or like does it interrupt you in the middle of a game?
I don't know. It says it's on the home page or the home screen or something like that. It's like AOL when you sign on and there's ads. Or
you know, I resent those ads on the
so
home
do
page
I.
Too.
I do too.
It's a subscriber service. I pay money to access this.
Exactly.
And you're going to give me ads?
Yeah.
You can bite me.
You guys are still on AOL?
I have my email.
I think it's your own damn fault.
I'm still on Earthline.
I've had
I'm on CompuServe.
Yeah, me too. Oh
okay.
My God, I had CompuServe.
That's why I have my screen name, because that was all that was available on CompuServe.
But anyways.
But you know what's cool about the GPS? Is I've heard of people coming with game ideas, video game ideas, where it knows where you are. And so you might have, like, it might say, go to this, you know, the special place to pick up your package, and you have to physically go and drive there, and it will then, the game will then give you the document once you can actually
when
have
you're physically
a
there.
You can actually use the city you're in to
that
play the game.
A good weight loss thing, like exercise,
like run to this place,
run in this direction for 10 minutes, you know, and then you get a treat. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, but it would be cool to have like a game that you had to run around town and pick up documents and stuff, but it all happened on your like PSP.
I'm just kind of picturing somebody getting pulled over by an officer and trying to explain why they're going 60 miles per hour in order to pick up an imaginary
document. I only have 30
document.
Seconds left, officer. The bomb is going to go off at the convention center.
I'm all for games taking more place in the real world. I really am.
Yeah.
Like, remember that game Majestic where they would send you faxes and call you up?
That
I was all
so
for
cool.
it. Yeah. I guess the game wasn't that good. But...
No, they stopped it because of 9/11.
Oh.
Because... Yeah. People were getting phone calls in the middle of the night and faxes about how they're going to grab your kids and kill you.
And that was all about terrorists, or it was about conspiracy.
It was a conspiracy thing, right. But you would get phone calls in the middle of the night saying you're a dead man.
Like that! They're calling us! Oh my God! They heard us!
All right. That was weird.
So last thing about the Gizmondo. And it also has a built-in camera, and if I didn't mention it, it plays movies and music.
So it knows where you are and can see you.
I don't quite understand. That's the
and
whole
can self-replicate.
Thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That Gizmondo is a little scary to me, and I am an early adopter, as you know, and I'm a little soured on it because of the ads thing. But the last thing I was going to say is that some real gaming heavyweights have signed on to develop for this thing, which is... interesting, like Microsoft, for example, and EA. They're doing
EA
a SSX.
Yeah,
EA's
a whore.
If there's money to be made, right?
That's right. They'll get the nugget out of it, the little gold nugget.
I have one. There's a new fuel cell that the a Japanese research team has developed, and it runs on blood. Okay? And what's actually interesting about this is that the reason it's interesting is not because you're going to be like, you know, it's vampiring you or anything like that, but because it can run, for example, eventually this could be a precursor to technology to run, you know, like an automatic or a pacemaker or some sort of device in your body, so you wouldn't need batteries for it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. Right now it only generates, it's about the size of a tiny coin, and is able to generate 0.2 milliwatts of electricity, or enough power to power a device that measures blood sugar level and transmits the data elsewhere. So it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting concept.
Well, they start powering cars and shit with that. Can you imagine, like, asking somebody for a jump start?
Yeah, that's the first thought I had.
I was thinking, like, the Matrix where all batteries and somebody's giant machine.
People stop hitchhiking, I'll tell you that.
The other half. That's just creepy.
Anyone got anything else?
No.
Yahoo opened a new music service. It is $5 a month, or $7 if you pay annually, or it's $7 per month if you play monthly. It's unlimited downloads, but it only the songs only work as long as you are a subscriber.
Yeah, Napster. The new Napster was like that too.
It's just cheaper than all the other ones.
How much is it?
Well, it's $60 a year. You know,
unlimited.
$60 a year for unlimited downloads.
But can you imagine getting into that and then, you know, finally after 6 years they decide to stop it, or you
or
they up the price and you go, I don't want anymore, and all the albums that you have you have to rebuy them or go find them. And
well, yeah, but at the same time, for $60 a year, you know, to listen to any song you want.
I have a question. Does it say whether you can burn it to disc after you buy it?
I think with Napster you could burn it to disc once.
Oh, really?
Well, that's fine, because then you can re-import it. Not like I would do that.
Oh, no. No, I only share my iTunes.
One could.
I couldn't do it.
I used the Napster, I burned it to disc, and then I tried to burn it back to my computer, and it would not recognize the disc.
It looks like it does have...
play it, but it would not burn.
iTunes will let you burn and rip it again.
Well, not like that, but I got all sorts of tricks to get that shit off there, boy. You bring it on over here.
You see, some of us are law-abiding.
Mm. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I'm allowing you burned it to a disk for backup purposes, and now you would like to put it back onto your computer. You paid for it. Quite frankly, you're doing exactly what they intended.
I'm not going to argue that. I just want to be smug.
You're not going to be
superior.
There's no way would you bring it over to my house and allow me, your friend, to have some of your... Me. Yes.
To help you restore...
Because that would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
Geeks On does not support any comments made by Aaron.
All right. Let's move on to it's our special episode.
Yay!
The E3 episode! E3! I feel strangely like Matt today.
You feel like Matt's
chair.
Yeah, I'm sitting in Matt's seat and I'm like all like chipper and like, E3! Make all these noises.
Because if he were here, he would have done that, you know?
Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
So, the first thing we need to talk about, I think, before we... Well, we all went to E3.
We all went to E3.
You guys all liked E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were part of it.
Yep.
It was exhausting. Yep.
Let's describe what E3 is like when you walk in there. I mean, you know, what the experience of like of being at E3. Because a lot of people have never been there.
Okay, have you ever seen the movie Clockwork Orange?
Yes, you're right. Where they have that, they have your eyes wide open, and the screen is playing. And you can't stop, like, it's everywhere. Yeah,
it's an assault.
So there's these giant screens everywhere.
It reminds me of the movie Brainstorm. You remember that? Yeah. Where you would put on the cap and you experience somebody. Remember the one that would brainwash you and the kid that the FBI or the Secret Service made, and you would put it on and it would make you go mad because everyone starts screaming at you and lights are going everywhere and it's like someone's in your face, you know, and it's all distorted. That's kind of what E3 is. Mm-hmm. It's like... being brainwashed.
It's so funny because any one of those stands by itself would be fine.
Right.
But they're all but they're all trying to be louder than the ones around them so that people can hear it.
Yeah.
And there's no limit on how loud they can be.
There's a guy walks around like all day with a device that records it, and they will now they used to give you warnings. Now they pull the plug.
Oh, really?
There's no first warning anymore.
Because it is really loud, and this is an epileptic's nightmare. Okay. And then the other thing that's really fascinating about it is the kitsch factor, which is that there are like this is a video game conference, and they've got, like, you know, dancers on stages.
Wait, we haven't actually explained what it is yet. We've just explained what it's like.
Okay, so, please explain what, yeah.
All right, you walk through the doors, and immediately you're in a football field-sized room.
Bigger than that, but yeah.
Bigger than that. Filled with large stalls, most of them maybe 200 feet wide. Does that sound about right?
And these aren't like stalls. These are like really put together, like
castles,
prefab. Yeah, like, you know, they've got rooms you can walk into that are completely
EA,
silent. You can't hear anything outside.
EA, for example, had a 360-degree round television set.
80 foot in diameter, 360-degree projection to high def screen.
And yeah. In the center of it were video game consoles blaring at full speed.
But you also didn't see behind that screen, they were demoing The Godfather, and inside it was a study. They built a Godfather study that you went into and got a demo of The Godfather video game, but it looked like an old, like the study of The Godfather inside the screen even.
Wow.
It's like Disneyland.
Yeah.
Exactly. Traditional, like, dance club style lighting, strobes, and usually some smoke was pouring in from the Blizzard setup.
And plenty of booth babes.
Booth babes.
Oh, yeah, half naked women everywhere.
In costumes.
Dressed up
in quote.
Sometimes in costumes. Like, a couple times it was just
T-shirts.
Women in sort of a costume that had really nothing to do with the video game they were hawking.
Right.
And then, like Peter was saying, some of them have stages where there are bands playing, where there are dancers going.
Tony Hawk's
fire jugglers. They had Tony Hawk giving demos.
Yeah. People playing poker.
Cars everywhere. People playing poker.
What was up with like the Conquer game they had, the online game? Like, they had like strippers up on stage. I mean, like, they weren't.
Couple years ago, they had beer in the Conquer room.
Yeah, I'm like,
EA had for Sims last year. They built a bar inside for VIPs, and you went in and had a dance floor, bar, full bar. You could go in and order drinks, nice and air conditioned in there.
Oh,
it was great. Yeah.
And they have these small screening rooms inside this giant place that are so, you can't hear anything when you go inside it. They're like soundproof.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But they're heavily soundproofed. Those things are hard to build.
Yeah, I bet.
They're hard to build.
Wait, so what did they spend, $500 million on this thing?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Wow. Oh, easy. Yeah.
Wow.
So that is the E3 experience. Just incredible amounts of noise coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
People, images of people and actual people coming at you and trying to entice you into their stall.
Right.
I mean, it's worse than being in like the red light district of Amsterdam. You know, it's just
not that bodies. We've ever been there.
I hear. Anyway, it just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But I go down there. I really have a blast. I mean, I'm usually exhausted afterwards, and I'm done with it. It's like Vegas.
Fun for about two and a half hours.
Oh,
at which
really?
Point I start dipping down a little bit, and by hour five, I'm usually just like, no, done. Please finish. No.
Lunchtime, we turned to each other, and we were just kind of like this. We're eating, and we're like, so what's going on? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, poor Peter is like, so this is almost done, right? And I'm like, well, we have one more row of this, our first room.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The other football size room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all the smaller room. I mean, it's huge.
We didn't make it to any smaller rooms. We just went to the two bigger rooms.
Oh, you didn't go down
to
the
smaller rooms?
Me too. We thought they were closed this year.
No, down below. Did you go down there?
I didn't have time.
We walked by with the ones that I know of that were there the past couple of years, and I didn't see them.
Right underneath the West Hall, there's the weirdo room. Yeah, the one with all the weird stuff.
Oh.
Is that where they have, old legacy games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Well, the first thing we need to start on is this year we have all the biggies coming out with their next generation consoles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Revolution. So let's talk about those, because they have all sorts of announcements. They're showing demos, they're showing games.
I missed the revolution entirely. I have to admit that. I didn't see
well,
it.
There,
there was nothing to miss.
There was nothing to show. I think they held a prototype, which you can see online, the pictures of which is beautiful and small.
This
but
is
they
a
weren't
small box.
They weren't demonstrating any
nice
hardware, any
Xbox
software.
The Xbox 360 and the PS3 were both pretty ugly.
Yeah, and they were big.
I think they both look fine. Actually, I think the 360 looks great.
Hey, but you guys know why they're calling it the 360, right? You've
no.
heard this?
No.
They're calling it because if you had a choice between the PS3 or the X2...
Well, that's the reason why they didn't name it
X2. X2.
Right.
But why they naming it the 360.
They had to come up with a different way of doing it.
Right.
So what sounds bigger, the PS3 or the X2, what sounds bigger, the P3 or the X360?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, we all knew it wasn't going to be called Xbox 2 because PS3. We
yeah.
I mean, that
right.
was just not going to happen.
I thought it was going to be called Nextbox or Xbox.
Yeah,
Next
I thought that
or...
too. But I don't know. It's the Xbox 360 name. Though I still think it looks like HAL.
It does look like HAL.
What are you playing, Aaron?
But PS3, it looks like a fax machine. Kind of.
Yeah, it does.
360
with a boomerang sitting next to it.
Has customizable faceplates.
That's true.
I don't know why.
You can get the mahogany front plate.
Oh my god.
Well, I have some things.
Chrome.
I'd like to start with the Xbox 360 because that's the first one coming out.
Okay.
And that one had really a lot of hype.
That had a lot of hype.
I saw more for that than anything else.
Yeah.
Right. Because it is going to come out. It's coming out soon, really. I mean, it's coming out in the end of this year. Or even. So I watched the. I watched the conference, the Microsoft press conference, and normally they're better than PlayStation, Sony's press conference. Sony always has PowerPoint presentation slides and people who can barely speak English up there trying to get across this thing. It's horrible. It's usually just absolutely horrible.
PlayStation 3 is number one.
Right. but and Xbox, you know, Microsoft always comes with like crazy screen. They always come with. They never have any graphic. They don't have pie charts at all. They always have like.
They
a
have
model.
Celebrities coming out.
Right, celebrities. But you know what? They screwed up this year.
Really?
They, in my opinion, they screwed up. They made the choice of not showing pre-rendered games and target videos, which are videos that are made before a video game is made to simulate what it could look like. But it isn't the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fake.
Right.
They're called target videos because that's the supposed target everyone's working toward.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They almost never hit the target. Almost never.
Right.
But they made this choice of not showing any of those. And PlayStation 3
did.
That's all they showed. And they showed videos
that blew you away.
Blew you away, but it's all BS. It's
all
bullshit.
Pre-rendered.
But most of the people, and I watched a lot of G4 because I wanted to hear what they had to say, they were completely duped too. This is total BS. The G4 should have known damn well that is all bullshit video. Now, I have to agree with them a little bit. Is they needed to at least tease us with stuff to say this is what it could be. If they wanted us to be excited, show us something exciting. Because their press conference didn't show anything exciting.
Really?
It kind of looked. Does it look okay? They kind of looked like Xbox games.
Right.
To be honest,
mm-hmm.
That's
it
what
looked
it
looked
like to
about
me.
As good as Splinter Cell does.
I didn't see a hell of a lot of difference.
Now. When I got on the show floor, though, I saw video games that looked great on the 360. And then I went, well, what the hell? Why didn't they show the Call of Duty trailer?
Oh.
Now, the Call of Duty trailer sucks.
Yeah.
The footage of it playing is awesome.
Yeah.
When I saw it playing, I was like, why didn't they show this at the conference? Why didn't they show Gears of War, which freaking looks amazing and looks just as good as any of those PlayStation 3 games.
Gears of War?
Yeah.
Gears of War.
I missed that one. Interesting. Go on.
Awesome looking. But anyway, I'll get into that later. But
I was coming back to the COD too. It just looked amazing.
Call of Duty is what I meant. Did I say Medal of Honor before?
No. You said Call of Duty.
Oh, Call of Duty, yeah. The Call of Duty looked freaking amazing. But one thing I did like about what they were saying in the conference is they brought up their services. They didn't really talk about the machine much at all, really. They brought up the services of
the Xbox. And this is the thing that I think that PlayStation and Nintendo need to start doing very quickly, mm-hmm. is show that they're not just a machine sitting there in front of you, that they've got a package that comes with this machine. Now, I love the new live services, including the fact when you buy it, there's going to be a free live service. You automatically get certain live features.
But you can't actually play any games.
Right,
online,
you can't play any games.
Which is a crucial feature.
Right, it does. But it does allow you to do some of the like communication stuff, which is cool. So even if you don't want to pay for the service, you can chat with your buddies, I believe, online and leave messages. So it's kind of like a communication system. I love the one button click to get to your live features through the controller.
Hmm.
There's a button now. Just, you know how Halo is always great that if you hit the Y button, your friends list comes up and
yeah.
you wished it was in all video
all games? Yeah.
Now it is. It's
okay.
in every single video game, including the movies you're watching. If you put in a DVD player, you hit that button, it'll automatically do that. Or even, I
because
think they say
it's always on.
It's always on.
Okay.
The gamer card with the rating
system. It'll tell you what movies people are watching?
I don't know. I don't
no,
know.
No, you can see who's
wait
online while you're watching.
I was going to say, that could
why
be
don't
trouble.
You want that?
Yeah, it could be trouble.
You have a problem?
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem, but I could see where it could be a problem.
Uh-huh.
Remember when we were talking about.
This is Debbie does D movie Peter's watching.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What's.
Does D.
Why is Peter watching Wild Things 2? I didn't know anyone actually watched that movie.
Yeah. Remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about Xbox Live and we were saying we wish we could just match all the idiots up together?
Yeah.
Yes. Or that we could find people and see a rating? Mm-hmm. Well, now they have it. There's a gamer card and there's a rating, just like eBay,
mm-hmm.
that like a 5-star rating. And if people start giving you bad ratings, your rating will go down and you see it right there. But not only that, but there's 4 different types of live rooms now. There's family, there's R&R, there's pro, and then there's like what do they call like alternative or underground, essentially where all the assholes go. Which is, this is great.
So they can use their cheats on each other,
right? You can cheat your ass off there, you can scream into the damn mic, you can call each other all the names you want to, just go to the underground section. Hey, I want to play nice and I want to be casual. I'm going to probably hit the R&R section.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy who spends day and night on Halo. I don't worry about my game ranking. But if you do, you get on the pro section. Fine. Mm-hmm. This is a freaking great idea.
Yeah, if you want to play Grand Theft Auto with your mother, family
section. That's right.
Section.
Family mm-hmm. section. Love that.
That'll be empty.
Yeah.
No one will ever be in there.
I was thinking the same thing.
I love the custom soundtracks in every video game that you don't have to stream off your hard drive. You can plug in an iPod, and it recognizes your iPod and will stream the music right off your iPod.
Wow.
So you can play a racing game, and if you don't like the songs, you plug in your iPod, and you have your entire library there
that's
to
good
play.
Good for stodgy people like me who... I don't like most of
I remember doing that on Ridge Racer on the PlayStation 1. You could put in a CD and play your own music after the game loaded.
Well, I do that now.
Oh, yeah?
With Xbox. I have, like, a racing...
Oh, because you have
I have
music
some MP3s on there. So, I like, Forza Motorsport, I listen
something
to
I thought
like,
was a friend of mine kept playing SSX to show tunes. That cracked me up. Everything's coming up!
The other thing I love is you'll be able to, I think, this is what Time Magazine said, is you'll be able to watch TV through the Xbox. I think you route your television. You can video chat because it comes with a camera. You can video chat with your friends while you're watching television.
I'm so scared that I'll leave the camera on one day.
Oh, I know.
And we'll watch.
And it's always on, so
yeah,
it's always watching you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know the iToy? I didn't know this, and I've had the iToy for months. Sorry, this is off the subject, but it has a microphone in it.
No.
I didn't know it until I played this like Harry Potter game where this ghost comes on and it says, the ghost is like, scream to make the ghost go away. And I was like, what? What do you mean scream? And I was like, ah, and the ghost went away.
Whoa.
I know, I'm sorry.
So you're like, this
scary.
Asshole on DDR is like, he can hear you?
It did make me turn off the iToy when I wasn't using it. It did.
Anyway, I love the idea of like being able to watch like a football game with all your buddies, you know, sitting there watching television. I love that you can remove the hard drive and get a bigger one if you want to, but it comes with a hard drive.
Okay, thank God.
Oh, good.
Comes with a hard drive. I love the marketplace. I know a lot of people are going, just another way to sell crap t-shirts and keychains, but and levels and stuff. But mm-hmm. I like that it might encourage game companies to keep games alive longer. Mm-hmm. If they know that they can sell a gun for 50 cents, they might just start putting more and more of these type of things. So when you buy, one of the problems with the video games is that, after 3 months, you're kind of done. You just buy another video game and you move on. But if they constantly had new maps you could buy for 50 cents, 75 cents, you might go, hey, you know what?
I'm curious to see if this will cause them to put out things that will grossly imbalance their games. Like put out a new super submachine gun for $1. And
right.
If you don't buy that machine gun, you're not going to be able to cut the mustard against the Joneses.
Well, then no one will play their game. I mean, it'll just turn into be a crappy game. So I think that would probably fix that.
Players sell to players on the marketplace?
They hinted at that, but I'm not sure.
I wonder if it'll be like eBay where Microsoft gets a piece of the action.
Well, I really doubt if that's going to happen, to be honest.
Don and I were actually talking about this the other day in terms of, Dungeons & Dragons. It's always amazed me that they didn't just come out with a game and then all these modules that they have, they just, sell them for like $1 or $2 a piece. And just download them. So, once you've gone to all the trouble to actually create the game, it would seem like the modules are the easy part, especially,
Well, what was the Dungeons & Dragons game that was like that?
Neverwinter Nights?
Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, well, that they let you create your own.
But they also had, you could buy some packages. They had four editions.
They did have a couple expansion packs. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems like, when you have a game like Dungeons & Dragons and you already have all these modules that are pre-existing for the mm-hmm. role-playing game, it seems like it would be fairly easy to put together, really quickly.
And it'd be great if, if they could make ones that are let's say there was one that was only 6 hours long but you could buy it for $2.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I would do that every once in a while. Even if...
And you can work your characters up through all the levels. You buy something level appropriate.
I might have a game that I have it sitting in the closet for a year and I go, you know what? I just have a hankering for it. I'm going to go see if I can buy a $2 expansion pack and play for 6 hours, and that would be worth the money to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping it encourages that type of stuff. I also like the idea of sponsored tournaments that maybe third-party people can sponsor a tournament for money and prizes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
Aren't they having a Halo tournament right now?
It's going on right now.
Who's sponsoring it? Is it Microsoft?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway,
I love it. It's worldwide.
That's what I heard. Far as the live part, I thought that was all great, and I think Sony needs to get. They need to do something like this. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how cool their hardware is. That's all pretty cool stuff.
Cool. From what I've seen, Sony is also having a camera that comes with it. They're going to have pretty extensive chatting things, and I think what I saw at E3 was they have iChat with games. You can play chess on one side of the screen and have your friend on the other side.
Right.
And I know that a large part of their presentation was answering point by point all the Xbox things, and I think they've said that they're going to develop these services. They've been kind of lucky because the onus has only been on them to prove their hardware and say, here's what the box is.
Right.
And then they can just say, and we're going to have a marketplace too. And that's all they have to do.
Right. Well, I just haven't. They said they were going to do online. And to me, the PlayStation 2 online service is a big pile of S.
That's true.
It's horrible.
We're all gamers, and who of us plays online PS2?
I have it.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't.
Me either.
The only thing that sounded good was the Resident Evil one for me. That was the only one that sounded appealing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have SSX3?
I do.
We should jump on and race.
That'll be the only time I've ever used the online feature.
I did get my hands on the Xbox controller, the 360 controller.
You like it?
It's great. It's better than the one that they have now. It's a hair smaller. It's kind of like a combo of the Xbox controller and the PlayStation controller. You probably won't like it.
I liked the big controller.
You're like the only person.
Yeah, well, you have jumbo hands.
I know.
Yeah.
This one really is great. It feels really great. And after looking at the PlayStation 3's controller, which looks horrible.
The Batarang.
That was hideous.
It is horrible. It looks uncomfortable.
It looks over-designed.
It does. I have a feeling that that's going to change really quickly.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people consider the PlayStation controller the best controller out there. And it's too loose for me, that controller. But most people do believe that it's a better controller.
at least the way it feels in your hand, and then they change it. Mm-hmm. I don't quite get that. It's a little weird to me. Anyway, as far as hardware and Xbox 3, I don't know really, you know, people right now are trying to compare the PlayStation with the Xbox, and saying the PlayStation is more powerful. Then Xbox launches this, gives IGN the specs and saying they're lying. Here, we're going to lay it out to you. And you can go into IGN.com and they do bar graphs and pie charts, and they say,
oh, really?
This is BS. They're giving you this number, this floating point number. I'm not even sure what all that means, but they're only giving you this one number that says it looks like it's double our, you know, speed. Mm-hmm. And then they have 7 cell processors and all this stuff. They said, well, you know, let's look at all the numbers here, because quite frankly, we hold up entire, like, you know, almost point to point. So I don't even know what's more powerful now. PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3 put out a whole bunch of videos that were all, you know, pre-rendered, so I can't tell by game if it's any good. The numbers are all fuzzy math. Who knows? So I really, before people judge, I would wait to see what the games look like when they come out.
And based on what we've seen so far, it's definitely not clear that one is so superior graphically than the other, even the pre-rendered stuff.
Even looking at E3, I wasn't able to really tell at this point. I think it's too early in the game to really figure out anything.
Well,
too early in the game? Too early in the game?
Well, let's just put the
flick your nose.
Now, the PlayStation 3, I don't know if you guys... Did you guys wait in line for that?
I couldn't.
Yeah. Nope. It was like 3 hours. I didn't wait.
Wow.
I didn't wait in line either. But I did watch their conference, too. And they had a very impressive conference where they showed tech demos.
Right.
And they showed some freaking awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Killzone 2 one?
The Killzone was freaking amazing.
Amazing.
And then they claim afterwards that that's what PlayStation 3 will look like.
They claim.
Right.
But basically, you guys have to see this trailer, because...
I'll have it on the TiVo.
Okay.
Basically, it looks like the game of the future that you've always wanted to play, where things are going crazy around. It's like Call of Duty times 10 is basically what it looked like to me.
I'll show you guys Killzone after this if you want, because it's freaking amazing. They still claim that that's what the game will look like.
And will play like, which boggles the mind.
If that is true...
If they're not lying
Xbox,
bastards.
Yeah.
Xbox 360 is in trouble.
What I was going to say before, though, is that Sony has always been so good at making promises.
And then, exactly.
They don't
Do you remember the tech... Oh, don't all... Do you guys remember the tech demos for the PlayStation 2? They look like, you know, Toy Story type stuff.
Yeah.
And they kept saying... you know, cinema graphics, but and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It never did. You know, we still get horrible jaggies. It's like Gran Turismo 4, and it looks like, you know,
I get to see the same video game side by side on GameCube, PS2, and Xbox every day.
Right.
Right next to each other. And the PS2 always looks like the Stone Age cousin
of
the other two systems. When you see them right next to each other, it's shocking how backwards it can look.
Yeah. Well, again, PlayStation 3, I almost think, is just too far away to judge about what's going to happen. All they showed amazing stuff. The amount of power that's in the box is shocking. I mean, it's like 10 of these of my computers all jammed in there. It's unbelievable.
And isn't it supposed to be an improvement over PS2 by like tenfold?
What prices are they talking on these systems? Do we know?
Ooh,
we don't know.
I don't think they're
some people were saying, listen, we're adding up the prices of PS3 and it's looking like $500.
Whoa.
But I doubt if...
It's going to come with advertising.
Traditionally, traditionally, these things sell for about $300.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Xbox will be $300, and I'm sure PlayStation 3 will be close to that.
Yeah.
Nintendo Revolution, I don't know if you saw anything, but they didn't show
shit. They didn't show anything. In fact, more information I've gotten online than at E3.
Yeah.
But it is not trying to compete with the other two in terms of the horsepower, the sheer power that the other two are packing into
it. Yeah, I don't understand
that. Well, I do understand it, because they're focusing on having innovative gameplay. And the truth is, as we all know, it all comes down to the game's I spent the weekend playing freaking Midway Arcade Treasures all weekend.
Well,
I
then
was,
that
like,
is
super
definitely
fringe.
Your game because you're going to have all
fine.
Those downloads.
I know, and that really excites me. They're talking about being able to download the entire library of NES, Super Nintendo, and Nintendo 64. The entire library.
I don't see. This is what I don't get. You've waited all these years to buy a box so you can play all the games you had a long time ago.
I want to play the new Revolution games with the new Revolution controller.
Right, and but you don't know what that is.
I do not.
And
you
know,
it's not coming out.
I did hear a hint.
Oh, yeah?
On G4, they were interviewing the guy, and they said, so what's the controller? He says, I can't say, but what type of controller could you use to play all of the games from our previous boxes? In other words, each one of our controllers has been different.
Mm-hmm.
So what type of controller could play...
Somehow.
Exactly. Some type of customizable
something
or
mappable.
Morphing. Yeah, mappable something.
Intriguing. They've shown nothing, they've got nothing, but they've got a new Zelda, and once again, it comes down to the games. The game could be amazing and sell the system.
Okay, let's
as long as they put a Zelda out, it'll do fine.
Let's move on to games. And on that note, I didn't get to see the Zelda trailer, did you?
I did.
Is it good?
Are you
yes.
waiting in line for that?
No, I saw it online.
Oh, you did?
Online.
Oh.
I would have, though, because I heard you could, like, walk through Zelda game. Like, it
yeah.
was like Disney in there.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
There was, like, rivers and trees and stuff.
Right, I heard yeah. that, too. I wasn't going to wait 3 hours, though.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't. I had
the
no time.
The line for even, like, Peter Jackson's King Kong was 1 hour. And we weren't
yeah.
that interested.
No.
You know?
See, that's, by the way, before we move on, this is a semi-new trend for E3. There used to not be these private lines for every booth. They were always yeah. kind of here and there. Almost every freaking big booth had one. And
you know why?
It is a big pain.
Because it draws attention to them. People
I know,
see
but
lines.
It really is. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
But you're right. It used to be only a few. And I
yeah.
remember it was like
I mean,
the game.
I even had two. Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they should let you see it on the outside too, because there's so many people that aren't seeing it now because of that.
Exactly.
You know, because it's like if I wanted lines, I would go to Disney World. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a shame
well,
it wasn't always
the
like
people
that.
People that are there, like media and
have to
and the buyers, they don't have to wait in the line.
No.
You know, they just go to the exhibitor and say like, mm-hmm. "Hi, I'm a buyer," and they get to go into the next showing.
Oh. Okay.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. They do not wait in line at all.
Got it.
So the games.
Yep. Let's.
What wowed you?
Yeah. What wowed you? I'll tell you what wowed me. Dead Rising, I thought was really cool looking.
Oh, what?
Is that one with a million
promo.
Zombies?
Million zombies. What? You can kill them with anything. You can actually
oh
kill
God.
Them with other zombies.
Yeah.
You can run them. Yeah.
I didn't see this.
Oh, it looks
it was
great.
Capcom.
Okay. Here's
okay.
what was.
That's why.
Here's what was brilliant about this game is it starts off you're a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So half of what you're doing is taking pictures too of everything because you want to get the story of a lifetime, right? You can kill the zombies with anything. You can pick anything up. You can knock over a zombie, pick up a zombie, and start swinging him in circles to bat the zombies away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a lawnmower, and you can run the zombies over with it.
Now, wait a minute. This smells of, what was it called? Pandemonium, or what was that
okay.
Rockstar game where you just ran around and beat people in a mall?
Oh,
State of Emergency.
It was a cross between State of Emergency, Resident Evil, and Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. State of Emergency had this draw where you could thousands of people run at you and you can beat them up. That was a damn boring game. So
this
I'm
one,
hoping
though, it looked like it had a narrative element to it.
Okay.
That looked terribly entertaining.
And it looked
okay.
really
That's
funny.
Cool.
And the part where it really gets you though is at a certain point it cuts to you and you're on the top of a U-Haul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it slowly starts to pull out and you realize that you're surrounded by thousands of zombies. It's just you
yeah.
on the top
more
of a U-Haul.
Zombies than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it looked like a lot of fun.
That's
huh.
a strange.
And what is that coming out on?
Seen.
What was it coming out
How
on?
How many have you seen?
They didn't mention it.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah. I don't think.
But if it's Capcom, I'm guessing Xbox, Xbox, PS3.
So it's gonna thousands of. Obviously, it's not gonna be thousands in one screen because that sounds like a.
Well, no,
next
because
gen.
there are ways for them to do it.
Okay.
You know?
Hmm. Interesting. Didn't see
yeah.
that one.
Okay, that's one.
Very impressed by that one.
Done?
The one that caught me, I'm a fighting game enthusiast, so when I saw Urban Reign, I got all excited. Urban Reign, R-E-I-G-N, was... the basic premise is that you can take one of the various fighting characters they've got, nothing terribly new there, and you fight. But The twist was there are up to four people can play at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can set the teams to be whatever you want. One, everyone for themselves, two against two, one against three, whatever you want. But then the fighting moves seem to be, it's not just I press a button and I punch. The move that comes out is dependent on where my enemy is, where my enemy's ally is, and where my ally is. Hmm. So
combos are, you have to work together to do some combos.
They're all cooperative. Half the moves are like, you know, I grab you and I throw you to my opponent, my ally, or I jump kick you in the head and use the momentum to rocket off you into the other person. And it only works if they're in the right place.
Right.
You know, so it was just beautifully animated. The character design seemed really fun. And I got to play test it downstairs, and I was not too fond of the controls. I had a really hard time figuring out exactly how to do all the amazing things they were showing off in the
movie.
It
seems like that might be hard. Well, that's like all fighting games.
Yeah, but with this one, it was like, I play fighting games. That's my thing. If I can't figure out your fighting game in 2 minutes, you've got a control problem.
Do you play Tekken or the ones where, like, Virtual Fighter, where you really have to know sequences?
Well, Tekken, in my opinion, Tekken is the one where you have to know sequences.
In Virtual Dead or Alive is the masher.
Yeah.
And Soul Calibur, I think.
So I play all of them. I play across the board.
Yeah, I don't play with him. I get whooped.
But, yeah, Urban Reign was the one that got me all excited.
Well, I've got mine organized by system, so I'm going to start with my Xbox 360s. Tom Clancy Ghost Recon 3.
Oh, saw the trailer for that. Looks great.
Yeah, it looks really cool. They've got...
And I don't play those.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of the same deal as they always have. It seems to be a little more urban-oriented, maybe. But they have all these picture-in-picture windows that pop up on your screen that... Each of your guys has a your player characters has a little video helmet cam.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
cool.
You can dial in and call them, and it renders what they're seeing and puts it on the side of the screen.
That's cool.
And so you can see that. Now, this is all on a high-def screen, remember. So it's very clear what that looks like. So when they talk to you, you see, and if one looks at another character, you can see them looking at each other and everything. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
The only thing that I'm worried about that is it really makes a lot of kind of clutter on the screen.
Sure.
And it looks video gamey. It kind of takes you out of the real world experience. But anyway,
but it
looks
could
very
be
cool.
Used for strategy. Have like one guy watching an area and you, there could be a way to use it.
I'm also wondering if they're going to tie that into the camera on the Xbox so you can actually put in all your goofy friends.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd love to watch the same expression in their faces. I kick the crap out of you.
You don't play those games.
I might if I could watch the expression in their face. I kick the crap out of you.
All right, so anyway, I thought that was a great looking game.
My pick, I believe is for the PS2, is Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, that was my top one for PS2.
This is my top one.
I can't wait.
And you and I are on the same page because we both loved Ico.
This is going to be a freaking great game.
You saw it, right?
I saw it.
It was the most beautiful images that ever struck my eyes. I'm so serious.
I saw that, but I didn't get to see much of it.
Let me tell you what the game is.
Interesting. The whole big guy walking around.
Yes.
Looks so neat.
So amazing. Something you've never seen. This is totally innovative to me, and yet it still keeps a lot in continuity with Ico, and that Ico was completely environment-based and used the environment in a very real way. So you'd solve problems thinking like, how can I get over there? Well, how would I do that in the real world? Mm-hmm. And that's how you solved puzzles.
Well, the great thing about that is it was a platform. You could easily maybe get across those places, but your girl couldn't.
And so you had to really solve these intricate puzzles, but always solved by the environment. Anyway, so that's going to be part of this game, too, sort of environmental puzzle solving. But what the game is that you're tracking down and fighting these 16 or however many it is.
16.
Colossi. And they are so big that you are not as big as their little toe.
Yeah, they're like 400 feet tall.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They're huge, and the whole world also is huge. You ride a horseback to get from place to place because the world is vast, and I've never seen a game where you feel part of just an enormous world.
Now, do you fight anything other than them? Or?
That's what I heard, is that there's only 16... There's no mini... They're all boss battles.
They're all boss battles, but they're problem-solving boss battles. And the demo that I saw is the guy had to... And there were controls to doing it all. It wasn't just you climb up the guy.
Yeah.
You had to, like, really time your thing and dodge their feet, climb up the guy to the head and then figure out how to kill them. And, like, one of the controls is, like, use your sword as a mirror. It's just so smart. It's
yeah, but part of the game is going on the adventure to figure out how to kill the next Colossus. So what you do is you go to castles and you go to different places and you have to find the keys and the information in order to get to the next one, find them, and learn how to kill them. Because each one you have to do it differently. And so that would probably how be kind of more like Ico's, where you have these bad guys in Ico, but they kind of just were annoyances. They didn't really, they weren't really battling them. They were kind of just, they would get in the way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you would beat them down.
They just gave you some arcade action.
Right, but it really, and it was the same creature. There was no other creature. One guy would show up each time.
Right.
And it was still a great game, but it was all about, you know, positioning the mirror in the right way, reflecting here and now, climbing up and swinging over this rope, and then lighting the torch, and then it was all this weird problem solving to get this, to leave this castle.
But it's all purely logical.
Right.
Unlike
right.
some games, you all believable. Oh, the puzzles yeah. were so great.
But it looked amazing.
Oh, my God, gorgeous.
I didn't see anyone get past the calf. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, I saw somebody get to the top. Yeah. And the monster itself was gorgeously designed.
Right.
I don't even know how to describe it. He had like a big glowing glyph on his head. And
nice.
It was there. The design team of those games, I think, are on another level entirely.
I totally agree.
Even the
do you remember the windmill?
I was going to say, like, I remember those poofs of smoke you would fight. There were these poofs of smoke and you would fight,
and they
kind of dissipate.
Do you remember the windmill in Ico?
No, I actually didn't finish it. So. You know why? I should tell you later. But it's because it was so beautiful, I didn't want to finish it and for it to be over.
I kept saving it.
I understand that.
We do? Okay, because I'm embarrassed.
You have to get to the windmill. And at the end is amazing. You go, okay, play that game.
I will. When the next one comes out, I'll finish it because I'll know I have another thing.
She's finishing
Motor first. Yeah, right.
That's right.
All right, Peter.
Less beautiful.
okay, I'm going to name just a weird game that I saw that I just was so intrigued by.
Is this the porno one?
Yeah, it's called Katamari. No, it's not porno. It's called Katamari. Okay.
We love Katamari.
We love Katamari.
It's a sequel.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've never seen this before. Don told me a little bit about it. But it is so fun for people who've never seen this. Basically, in the game, you're this guy who rolls around this little ball. And whatever this ball touches, things stick to it. And only if the things are smaller than the ball do they stick to it. And the goal is to try and make the biggest Katamari or the biggest ball possible by sticking things to it. So you start by rolling around and you pick up like books and things like this. As you get bigger and bigger, you start to pick up dogs, cats, children, you know, people, and they're all terrified as you're like rolling them over, and it's so much fun.
Well, in Katamari Damacy, you got to be the size of like cities, and you're rolling or collecting
like
buildings
planes.
And buses.
Yeah.
And it got that big.
Really?
You can still get that game, the first one.
It is wonderful.
I've never played
it's
it.
It's hard to find it, though.
Really?
It wasn't a huge thing.
It was
easier
only like
now.
$20 when I bought it.
It's easier now because it's gotten so much. People have been importing it and stuff, you can and selling it back. Because it won like every like best
design
award.
Yeah.
I've been looking for it. I haven't had
it. If I find it, I'll pick it up for you because I love it. But the thing,
Xbox or PS2?
PS2. The thing that is the other side of like the game itself is incredibly quirky and incredibly intuitive. But the other part of the game is the sort of shell of the game, or like where the guy introduces the levels.
Yeah.
And it is so unbelievably trippy.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And the music.
I love that, though. The design, just the design of it, the presentation of everything is so pleasant and so simple.
What's
fun. And
like
the
father,
so
like the weird
the
universe
king father.
He's got this weird, like.
He's got a package.
Yeah, he's got a package.
Oh, you want to do Katamari again? Well, I'd be tired of that by now if I were you. But
he's just the weirdest
I'm just
thing.
I love Katamari.
Yeah.
It's all like that.
Semi pornographic. It's very weird.
Okay.
But
Don?
A great game.
Well, I'm just going to belt out two other ones real quick. Basically, there was no game demonstration, but the trailer for Quake Enemy Territory, I just thought looked beautiful.
It did. And
it just looked
what is that
gorgeous.
On?
I
couldn't
honestly,
figure out.
I can't answer your question. I don't know.
Isn't that your company?
It is my company, but I'm
well,
not
call somebody.
Get
I
on
love
the horn.
Next time, find out next time, tell us like if they found out what it's going to be released on, see if you can.
I can't even answer you like all the things my thing's on. I mean, I have half the time I have no
because idea. It looked amazing, and I was like, is that PC or Xbox 360? I mean, some high-def thing.
Yeah, but basically, I mean, it's It looks like Quake. It takes place in the Quake world, but I think it's using the setup of enemy Wolfenstein enemy territories, that mm-hmm. style of play,
mm-hmm.
where you actually choose a character profession in this first-person shooter world where you're playing with other people. Mm-hmm. So you can be the medic who has to run out and find other players who've been shot down, and you revive them and send them back into battle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you play the lieutenant giving out ammunition to other people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a ton of fun.
That's... I was pretty shocked at how good that looked, actually. Yeah.
The other one, though, I'm gonna throw it out there. I don't think it'll be a big seller, but for a very specific audience like myself, it's going to be a wonderful thing. Heroes of Might and Magic 5 was out on the floor. Mm-hmm. And while I know a lot of people are not into turn-based strategy the way I am, I really enjoy a game that I can play and then ignore for a little while I go do something else. You know, just play as I want to.
Right.
And it looked like it had the same kind of fun, easy, intuitive gameplay of the earlier Heroes of Might and Magic games, but this time they've souped up the graphics big time. Hmm. So you control these fantasy armies like unicorns, and then you'll send your unicorns out to go fight your opponents, and if they win, your unicorns can learn from the battle and upgrade to, like, you know, flying unicorns,
Pegasus,
virgin elven rider people.
They grew wings.
Exactly. I mean, it looks really
the upgrade
beautiful.
To virgins.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm a third level virgin.
I want to finish off my 360 people with or 360 box with Gears of War. I mentioned that before, but it looks amazing. I mean,
that game I happen to know has been in development for a long time, so it is.
And it's not it's not a launch title, but I think it comes out early 2006. It's going to be awesome. And the Elder Scrolls 4, which is a sequel to Morrowind.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of agree. Morrowind to me was too barren feeling.
Yeah.
And if they can fix this to make it easier for casual players, which they say they're trying to. It looks beautiful, but I'm really hoping they can do that, because I would like a good role-playing game.
My big problem with Morrowind is that it felt like an MMORPG
without anybody.
The things that make an MMORPG fun.
I totally agree.
You know,
I'm
so
hoping that they can fix that.
Defeated the whole purpose.
Do you have any other ones?
I've got plenty. I've got plenty, too. I'm just going to... I think I felt like I owe it to the PC to bring up some PC games, because we're all about the console.
I hear you.
So I played F.E.A.R. Did anybody else play Fear?
No, I saw it.
I loved it. I thought it was really fun. I was a little worried at first, because when I heard about it, I thought, oh, here's another game trying to be everything to everybody. Like, it's got a little Max Payne. It's got a little tactical shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I played it. And first of all, I'm a sucker for any horror game, so they had me at horror.
So what's
right
it about?
I don't know, actually. What I saw of it in terms of the story didn't tell me much. There's some supernatural element.
I was guessing it was like a special team of people has been assembled to encounter supernatural things that they're not sure of.
I think it's first encounter something.
Action response.
There you go. Thank you.
And it looked like the people they pulled together had very diverse talents, but I'm not sure about that.
It's kind of like Rainbow Six, but
with some eternal darkness elements, because there's ghosts and very supernatural things, and they play with your mind like they did in Eternal Darkness, where you see things, you know, so you go a little crazy. I love all that.
There's a Call of Cthulhu game that's like that, too.
Oh, real insanity involved in that. I like that. But
it even changes what you see on the screen.
As you get
like
more
you
crazy.
Think enemies are coming, you shoot at them, but
oh yeah, that's Eternal Darkness. Yeah. But anyway, so this one, I don't know what the story is, because the people that I were fighting look like people; they look like soldier types. Hmm. But the way the enemies moved, I'd never seen before, except for maybe in Half-Life, where, you know, they'd punch out a window and climb through it to get to you, and that they were really intelligent.
I just saw the trailer and they had this creepy thing crawling up the building and then jumping around, and I think it was from the game, and it looked freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw that. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, what little I played, I absolutely loved. Also, the environment was fully interactive. Everything sounded... It was just like Half-Life 2 plus horror... Plus, you know, Eternal Darkness, and I say that's a recipe for and Max Payne, and it has bullet time. So, what more could a girl have?
Bullet time.
Okay, I want to name some sort of weird ones that I saw. Okay, first is I saw something called Demonic. It's based on something by Clive Barker,
And it was interesting because in this game, you play a bad person. You play a demon that's been summoned, and you run around and kill good people.
Right.
And that was interesting. Okay.
There was a scene there, I hope it's in the gameplay, it just looked really awesome. You're playing a demon character, and the image they showed of you walking down a hallway, and from the camera's perspective, you can see a bunch of people like running at you down a hallway to the character's left, and rather than doing anything incredibly flashy to kill your opponents, all you saw your character model do was look at them, and you just see kind of a glow on the walls from where your eyes would be lighting up as all of them down the hallway just ignite.
Ooh.
And it looked very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
Very nice. People.
Now, I actually played the second one that I'm talking about, which is Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and it was really kind of a clumsy game to play. But the concept is really fun. You actually play the shark.
Yeah.
And you go around and you eat people and kill people.
Did you see the movie that was near that one?
No, it's that one.
Which one was that?
Taxi Driver, the video.
Yeah. Oh, God. No. Yeah, I did see that.
How did that look?
Looked terrible, actually.
Okay.
What's up with all of the like ancient movies now being made?
Yeah, Scarface, they're doing Godfather. Godfather looks amazing.
The two other ones I saw were Destroy All Humans.
I've got that on my list. I played the demo of that.
That looked kind of funny.
It is fun as hell, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, you play an alien. It's kind of as if... what's that movie where the aliens come to Earth and they get destroyed? It's the one that was...
Like
Mars Attacks.
It's kind of like Mars Attacks, but you're playing the aliens.
Right.
Attacking humans. And then the last one was...
In the demo, you toss...
cows. with telekinetic powers, yeah. You go and you try and... You think the cows are the intelligent life on this planet.
Right.
And when they don't respond to you, you kill them with your telekinetic powers. By like throwing them really far.
I like how you ask them... that you go to the cow and you say, I'm going to abduct you now. It will be invasive. And do you agree to this? And your boss says, hey, you need to go and talk to this thing. He goes, why? It's got nipples all over it.
It's really very funny. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one is Odama. Did anyone see that?
Oh, I played Odama.
You played Odama?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I saw, but I didn't play it.
Okay. It's a weird game. It's a pinball game.
Yeah.
Where it's a combat... Okay, I don't even know how to describe this. Other than to say...
It's like a war game,
in a way. It's a strategy game.
It's a war strategy game. Yeah. Where one of the weapons that you have to use is your cannon fires a boulder. And then the boulder rolls back down the hill towards you. And you have guys who pull levers and hit the boulder back up at the enemy.
Right. It's a pinball game with armies.
But meanwhile, there's armies marching across.
Yeah. It's a pinball game set in feudal Japan fighting samurai warriors.
Yes.
It was very strange, but somehow really intriguing.
I played it, and I have to tell you, it's very compelling, because it is such a weird blend of strategy and pinball. I can't believe I'm saying strategy and pinball.
Yeah.
But your object is to
it's
get...
It's like Baby Pac-Man.
But it is feudal Japan, and it is based on some history, and the object is to get these warriors carrying a bell, like it's some symbol, across the field to the enemy territory.
And you pinball your way there.
And you command your troops, in addition to the pinball, with a microphone.
Oh,
really?
And there's strategy, too, because you send out more men. Like, you say, more men, and more men come out.
Is this on the PC?
Move left.
You have to have, like, a PC to
Nintendo GameCube only.
Wow. Guess I won't be playing that.
Yeah.
Right. See, they have the innovative games.
All I have stuff left is, like, what I consider to be, like, best in show. But big loser display, big winner display.
Well, I've got some. Moving on to Xbox. Well, this is Xbox and PlayStation, but Battlefield 2 Modern Combat is coming out soon, and that's going to be a good game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looked good.
And not only that, but I played a little bit of the single-player game, and they have this feature in there that's like popping bubble wrap. It's so... Actually...
What is it?
Do you remember? Did you guys play Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Do you remember the feeling of the zip line where you'd go and shoot up the top?
Oh,
and it kind of get this weird good satisfaction of doing it, and you could just do it without killing anybody. You just do that throughout the city. This is this feature where you can possess anybody on your team in the battlefield, so you can move from person to person. And so that you feel like you can play all the characters. So let's say you're traveling in a tank and you're moving over to a bridge and you're getting attacked by, you know, a sniper who's, like, shooting at your men. If you can see on your radar or in your field vision another one of your guys, let's say you have a sniper up on top of a roof, if you look at them, hit one button, you shoot across, and you now become the sniper.
Oh, so it's real-time? Like
it's real-time. You go, shoom! Yeah. And it's almost like that Spider-Man zip line. And then you become that guy. You can shoot him, and then look back down at your tank, go back in the tank, and drive across the bridge.
Well, I loved your trailer, and I loved Marines. The trailer for that one at E3 was easily the third best one there.
Yeah, well, it's going to be cool, and the online portion of this also looks great. Xbox Live, I'm going to buy this for Xbox and be playing this on Xbox Live, for sure. Burnout Revenge. Burnout, to me, is by far the best racing game that's out. Burnout Revenge is coming. I've got some reservations, though. I saw this down on the floor, I saw this down on the floor. They've added all these jumps where land on people, and you can use cross traffic to bump now.
You can bump any cars,
which
now.
Is cool. But the problem is the cars don't look like real cars anymore. Because they're flying in the air now and on these jumps, they kind of look like toys.
Oh, that's such a shame.
And the crashes then don't feel as crazy. You don't feel like metal is crashing.
Yeah, it was looks all like, about the crashes.
And now it's not done, and maybe they're just going to change some of this, but it really felt like little Tonka toys flying around.
That is lame.
The heavy car physics just didn't seem there. Now, game is not done, and I couldn't find anybody on the floor to answer that question, because I always drill these guys if I have questions, and
That would be Aaron.
Yeah.
Take him to
drilling
task.
The guys.
wait a minute
and so that's kind of Star Wars Battlefront 2 coming out for PlayStation.
I didn't see that.
I saw the trailer
is all they had. LucasArts never really shows anything, but I'm really hoping they fix some of the problems that Battlefront has, because there's some serious problems. It's a great game, but it's kind of a lonely multiplayer game. You never feel like you're playing with your buddies. Okay. And I hope they fix that. Okay, you have a couple more?
Yes. Did anybody else... I'm sure you've seen it, because it's actually coming out very soon. Killer 7?
Yeah.
Is that the most beautiful looking thing?
That was,
I liked it.
So interesting, but it was... It looked like it might get old soon.
Yeah, it looked like a mess.
It looked like there might be some trouble in translation, because I actually watched the gameplay, because, you know, when you see the trailer, you're like, oh my god, this is so beautiful. I've never seen this style before.
Right.
The gameplay was a weirdly like an old school adventure game where there was branching paths, and then there was some arcade action, but I was nervous about the gameplay. It wasn't free form at all. It was very set
and
paths.
And a lot of stopping and starting and flicking and flittering. And I was like, I was watching a guy playing, and I was like, I can't follow this. I just don't know what's going on.
But if it is a real mystery or real adventure game, then they could have me. But you have to admit that the cinematics in there and the style of it alone is really new.
Describe the style so that people understand what we're talking about.
Well, that's a good.
It's really hard to kind of.
It's very hard to describe. It's like a very gritty Tron. I don't know how to describe it.
Who is the artist that does the nine different like tomato cans up on the wall?
Oh, like Andy Warhol.
Would you say it's kind of a little Warhol?
It kind of looks like
I don't know how to describe it. Yeah.
It looks like a graphic novel in a way.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean. It's very pop art in that it's very bold style.
Right, exactly. It's a cel-shaded game, but it's really taken to extreme. It's very graphic.
It kind of made me think of Frank Miller a little bit.
Very stylized. Actually, that's the best probably description you could give, because it's all hard, high contrast, hard shadows.
Right. Yeah.
I thought
curious.
It was beautiful.
You know, that's one of those games where I hear that the game split screens, and while you're playing, it shows what's going on in other rooms and other parts of the world. So, like, you only will be playing in, like, a quarter of the screen or half the screen, and storyline will be going on at the same time, even.
Wow.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm very intrigued by it, and it's due out, like, I think in a few months.
Yeah.
So, I'm all over it, yeah. I'll tell you how it is.
did anybody
Do you rent games ever, or did you just buy them?
I just buy them.
Well, I can never find the ones I want to play for rent. I can never
Gamefly.
Find them for rent. Yeah, but that's a commitment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. Did anybody see anything other than the trailer for Huxley?
No, I searched everywhere for that.
Okay. Because the trailer looked interesting.
Massively multiplayer online first-person shooter.
Oh, is it massively multiplayer? I didn't know that.
Massively multiplayer.
The trailer they had for there.
And I think that's for Xbox 360 that's coming out. It's a massively multiplayer online first-person shooter.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
A couple of things I saw. I saw a thing called Snow, which is a drug dealing game where it's a strategy drug dealing game where you want to take over the whole United States market by selling cocaine.
Geekson does not endorse the use of drugs.
I saw, for the cell phone, I saw a Rifts game.
Oh.
Promise of Power. I just thought to tell Aaron that. He'd be very happy.
Do we have to slog through the rules in order to play it on your...
I have no idea.
We also did see a Civilization.
Civilization cell game for cell phone.
Got me very
which was
excited.
Really interesting. I mean,
they should put GURPS on the cell phone.
I'm not even
Yeah.
No. Your cell phone will be assimilated. Okay.
Okay, but...
I said it.
The weirdest of them all was the Bible game.
Oh.
Oh God.
Okay.
I saw this on IGN, but I didn't see this on the floor.
Okay. It was on. It was in the bottom. It was in the bottom level of the big room.
Okay.
And it was actually not a very good game, but I suspect it's going to be a huge hit.
It was like Bible game show game.
Really?
Yeah.
It was really weird.
It was
probably
like
will be a big hit.
It was like really simple games for. It was obviously aimed at young kids, like you know Jacob.
I thought you were going to say for simple people.
I wouldn't
gonna
say that.
Oh, that's when Maureen came in and kicked Peter's ass.
I'm gonna be very quiet.
Okay, no, but like one of the games is called Jacob's Ladder, and it's a racing game where basically it gives you arrows in different directions. You have to hit up, down, left, right, and if you hit it faster than your competitor, then you
it's
beat them.
Jesus Christ kart racing game,
right?
Jesus kart.
Exactly. You know. So, but yeah, I just thought that was interesting though, because you know.
It's interesting. It's an untapped genre.
Well, someone saw The Passion of the Christ and said,
Well, the thing is, there have been Bible video games in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is they've been clearly made by people either who are very Christian,
yeah,
but had no concept of how to put together a video game,
yeah,
or knew how to put together a video game and were blatantly after some Christian money.
Right.
You know? So it'd be interesting to see if this one is...
any more successful. Yeah. Well...
I mean,
I'd be curious too.
Yeah, I think
you should buy it and tell us how it is.
All the Christian games I have.
Lisa, you should buy all of them. Why don't you go buy the Bible game?
I like to read reviews first. Then I just
go
buy it.
A lot of the Christian games I have seen really seem to be talking down to Christians, and that doesn't sell well.
I'm about ready to burst because you haven't mentioned this one game.
Oh.
But I'll wait to see if you actually do mention it.
Okay.
SSX on tour. I actually only saw a little video of it.
SSX.
It's the next SSX game. I love all the SSX games. I think
I'm sticking with Tricky. I loved Tricky.
I know you did. SSX 3.
It's skiing. I don't know what the SSX stands for.
Oh.
Super Snow.
You know what? I don't know what it stands for either.
Super Skiing.
Super Skiing.
It came out so long ago. I just it just means what it is. But.
Yeah.
I know that I agree with you. A lot of the personal characters were stripped out of the last game. It was still a great game. I'm hoping they put that back into the next one. I can't tell from right now. But what they have done is added some of that burn... this is by EA. They've added some of that burnout effect for the speed bursts, where the camera gets low to the ground, pulls in, and starts shaking and grumbling. So it looks like you are flying down this mountain now.
Nice.
I mean... really fast, so I'm really looking forward to it. And you can ski now instead of just snowboarding. It looks pretty cool. Again, I want to bring up Killzone. It's the only one I'm going to bring up for the PlayStation 3 because that trailer looks fantastic. I'd love
really
that
cool.
to be a real game, but I'm just moving on.
It's like a fantasy game of a game.
Not to break our order, but I have to ask the question. I was looking for Civ 4. I was looking desperately for Civ 4.
I did not see that.
I saw an ad for it, but I didn't see the actual game.
No, maybe it's just too far in the future, maybe?
Someone told me it was there, but I couldn't find it.
I have two PSP games that looked interesting to me. Burnout Legends, the one we were talking about, is actually coming to PSP. And there's a SOCOM game coming out for the PSP. And I played that, and they've got some control issues, in my opinion. I'm not sure how far away from it is, but you know, it's essentially a third-person shooter, but you don't have that other thumbstick to move around.
and they have this weird scheme where you click in order to kind of look around and then click to move. And
ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to work some of that out because it did not work. It looked cool on there, but did not work. So that's the only two PSP games that actually look kind of decent. So I know you have to have at least one DS game that you saw that was...
Well, I saw Age of Empires on the DS.
Oh, you did?
Which I thought looked really cool.
I thought
cool.
You'd be the Nintendo
freak. I know, it's so funny. When I was there, I was thinking, Aaron and those guys, I'm going to be the only Nintendo person.
You didn't see Nintendo?
And I dutifully went over... Actually, I didn't see Nintendo.
I thought you were... I thought you might be a girl,
but I would be more drawn to the Age of Empires than a Nintendo.
This actually had me intrigued.
Yeah, it is
Nintendo
intriguing.
Dogs, actually, I would not buy this.
Yeah, but Aaron, you are a girl.
I know. I'm like very close to a Japanese girl. I'm so close.
Do you think giggle?
What is Nintendogs?
Nintendogs is like a virtual pet.
Okay? Really?
So you get a dog. They have like a couple hundred dogs in there. So you get this dog, and because it's a touch screen, you can touch it, pet it, scratch it, do the whole bit. They have balls you can throw, and it listens to you too. You teach it commands.
What I want to know is, can you starve it
and
beat it, and then get it in pooch fights? Like you can have your Nintendogs, and you have like pit rings where like you know, two pit bulls under one lead.
I'm not quite sure, but the cool thing is it because it's a wireless game, it constantly is searching for other Nintendogs. And if it finds one if a Nintendog meets another Nintendog close by, your little machine starts barking. And if you flip it up, you can invite other people's Nintendogs over and they play together on
the
thing.
Oh my god.
It's so Japanese, isn't it?
It is extremely Japanese. The line was
huge.
Huge for this game. This was like the biggest thing in the Nintendo, in all of Nintendo area, besides the line for Zelda.
Was this upstairs in like a...
This is in the middle of the Nintendo area.
Huh, interesting.
But I thought you were going to bring that up because...
I know that you would expect that
of me.
Because
you're a girl.
But, you know, I can take or leave a Nintendo. All right. I'm more interested...
She'll buy
it. I'll tell you the other games I noticed for the DS. I played Beautiful Joe on DS. That was great. It used the touchpad to solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it was the same old Beautiful Joe gameplay that we all love, or maybe just
I
me.
I actually have not played that.
It's really fun. And then I saw an adventure game, because I do like those, and I am a girl, so I guess I do like those, called Trace Memory. That looked really good. And then they had, remember ER? There was or Life or Death. There was a game for the PC where you would, like, perform surgery. Well, they have that for the DS, you know, and it used the stylus.
That
you can, like, cut
cool.
open
That's
people and sew
that.
Them. You know,
That's
Life
cool.
and Death was a really good game, and you played it with the mouse sort of the same way. So I thought that was a nice way to use the stylus. But
That's
I actually
cool.
didn't
That's
I didn't
a good idea.
See that much on the DS that blew me away. Did you guys see that game, Condemned Criminal?
Yeah.
No.
Did you see it? It's one for the next generation consoles.
Oh, that one? Maybe I didn't see that one.
What is it?
It's got three names. Something Condemned Criminal.
Was it the guy running with the pipe?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is the goriest game I've ever seen.
Oh, really? I just saw the pipe.
It was about close-up bludgeoning of people to death. That was the whole game.
Well,
I mean, that's what I saw.
It's essentially Half-Life with a little extra graphic thrown in there.
Yes.
You run around with a crowbar and you knock
out of it. I think the idea is you can pick up anything, and if you knock a guy down and he's holding a wooden plank, you can use that to beat him.
It's like a less well-adjusted Manhunter.
I don't know anything about it. It was called, like, Condemned Criminal. And I am all absolutely on board with violence in video games. I know I shouldn't say that, but this one, I was like, I've never seen a more graphic simulator of violence in my life. Because it was all, like, bludgeoning. It wasn't, like, shooting from a distance. And...
Did you play Manhunter or whatever that was?
No, I probably wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't like that. Because that's all about taking bats, people's heads,
and
knocking
that's
the
what
shit
this
out
was.
Of them. Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys saw that, it is rendered in incredible, beautiful
awesome.
Detail.
Yeah.
The gore.
You could see the brains.
Yeah, the brain matter. So, are we done with games?
I have one more.
Forgot to
you
mention.
Have one more?
Oh, Soul Calibur 3 was there, and you could play it.
Mm.
And I was actually quite disappointed with it. I felt the gameplay was choppy. The graphic. I said it before. I say it again. Releasing it for the PS2 only is a huge mistake.
They're doing that.
It's PS2.
Well, no, it's choppy because they may not have. gotten it
I don't
fully
know.
Up running.
I'm
yet.
Watching it, and according to the little display they had there, the game is finished.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's at 100% through development.
Oh, okay.
Big sticker on there. And it was grainy. The graphics were pathetic. The loading time was slow.
Oh, my God.
Just in comparison to the Xbox, I mean, it was ridiculous. And the two characters they let you play were Mitsurugi, which is the samurai character with a samurai sword, and a new character whose name I completely forgot, who's basically a chick with a razor hula hoop. And
oh, I did see that. I saw that.
Yeah, you know what? The character design, not so hot. In my opinion, the Soul Calibur game kind of stuck with sort of, within reason, within a certain degree, realistic weapons. You know, you have Ivy with a chainsword, and you have two big guys using axes the size of Toledo. But the rest of the weapons were just straightforward swords.
Mm-hmm.
And the new weapons they're introducing is like a guy with a scythe, and the scythe looks like it's straight out of Vampire Hunter D.
Mm-hmm.
And this chick with a hula hoop, the hula hoop looks like it weighs 300 pounds. I'm not buying it. I have concerns about the direction their design's going on that game.
Do you think that's was that why they had the whole hula hoop thing going on in the there was a whole dance routine that people were doing with the hula hoop?
That was actually a different company.
Was it? I was kind of curious because it was kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I'm sorry. What was the last one? You
I saw that Soul Calibur 3 also, and I didn't see any new gameplay, anything.
It seemed pretty much the same.
As it was on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
my last game is Okami. This is my weird game of the show, which I'm also just drawn to. And this one, the beauty of this game is that the whole design of it is, it looks like calligraphy. It looks like a Japanese brush painting.
Oh, beautiful.
Really?
I mean, and that's the game looks like that. Like, it's a moving, living calligraphy brush painting.
I wish I had seen that.
But
that
it also
great.
Uses it for gameplay.
And I was kidding.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. And you play a wolf. And the most amazing thing is this wolf, the way it's animated, it somehow is bringing life to the world. I'm not sure of the actual story behind it, but I think it's some sort of god. And so things are dreamed of color, and then this wolf, you, go running by, and, like, petals fly out of the ground and out of you.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It is the most beautiful, stunning, gorgeous
it
thing.
Looked amazing.
Really? You've never seen anything like it.
I walked by it, and I remember seeing the display up above. There were a lot of people around it. And the display above made me think, not interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they may mismarket that game.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that they're bringing it to the U.S. because it sort of looks like, because it's
right.
Really does rely on actual calligraphy. There are points in the game where you use it to fight or you use it within the world.
Really?
Yeah, where the screen goes to like sepia and then you paint like
turned
a character.
Paper.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It
now,
is. It's
the
beautiful.
Problem I have is. It seemed like people were having a hard time getting the brush strokes with your thumb thing.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if they're going to clear that up or if that's going to be a problem with the game.
Right.
Like,
right.
That would be a great DS game.
It would be. And actually, I played, don't blame me, but I played the Harry Potter game, and you do spells by doing little glyphs with your wand.
Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
Kind of cool.
All right. I just have a list of, like, big winners, big losers, and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, let's just talk about the crazy stuff we saw or didn't like and liked about E3, and then we'll close it out with that.
Best novelty game, I have to agree, I think, with Jaws Unleashed. Like, swimming around being a shark, right? Sounds
right.
Like fun. Just because I got to chew on an outrigger canoe for a while. That was great.
Full disclosure... Oh, yeah, go on.
I was going to move on to another game.
Oh, it was hard to control the shark, though. I have to say that.
I have a feeling it was a very early stage.
Yeah, it could have been.
Got it.
In interest of full disclosure, it's being put out by a company I work for, but I saw the movies there, and I have to admit, looks good. It looks like a lot of fun.
I wish you guys would come out with it on the Mac, because it really looks like a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw even some of the movie stuff that... that was coming out of it, and that looks great too.
That's
like
great.
The movies that you can make. Some they were talking about on G4 the idea of maybe being able to upload the movies and seeing them and like trading them with other people so you can see each other's movies.
Yeah,
like a freaking great idea. So,
yeah, it's like The Sims where you could take pictures and share them, and you'd think, oh, this is stupid, but you could make whole stories out of this.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, this is so much better than that.
Yeah, because you have a goal. It's not Sims where you're just trying to get people to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. So I'm sticking both of those for best novelty. The big loser of displays this year, the big loser booth, I have to go with Conquer Online.
Yep.
We show up there, and there's hordes of women on stage in various skimpy costumes dancing around, right? Which is always fun to watch. And then they proceed to do a fashion show where different women come out representing different types of gaming. So, like, the MMORPG woman comes out, and she's wearing a tutu. And then the FPS woman comes out, and she's wearing, a tank top. And it's, I didn't see the point. And they keep dancing, weird. And the announcer kept saying things like, what's the best game around? Conquer! But you have no idea what the game Conquer is until you walk around back where there is no living soul. There is no one back
because
there.
Everyone's watching the booth babes.
Right. To see this kind of measly little display of three computers kind of running a half-assed game.
And I'm kind of looking forward to the game, actually, too,
and
which
they,
is funny.
They did have the best booth babes there. I have to say that.
That's because you didn't see Blood Rain.
No, well, I didn't see her now. You're right.
So
but don't give us that look.
And then they're giving away all this...
You can't see my look.
They're giving away all this crap, but again, they're giving away the crap nowhere near their game. So I couldn't describe their game if I tried.
Funny.
And I saw the 2 minutes I saw of it, completely unimpressed.
Now, they said,
oh, it's gonna be fun.
They said it's free to download and free to play. I don't know if that's true.
I think the beta is.
But it's conqueronline.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So...
Big winner display, again, interest full disclosure, I work for them. I think Activision's display was hands down the best this year. It was big, it was impressive.
I had a hard time deciding, though, when it started and stopped.
It did kind of run into blizzards.
Like, I was walking and go, wait a minute, this isn't Activision. I couldn't tell where things started and stopped.
I agree. But as far as just the appearance of the display, it looked great. And I think they had the best variety of stuff this year.
I liked the one that was like the city street.
Oh, yeah.
In one of the meeting rooms is a diner and
stuff.
Yeah,
it was a whole little town.
Cool. That was pretty cool.
But that was there last year, too.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't see
I remember
that.
Seeing that. I think that's like a display they bring in every year and someone just buys it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The biggest disappointment for me this year as far as companies was Blizzard. And normally, I love Blizzard.
They didn't show anything.
They didn't have anything new.
Everything was old, yeah.
They had nothing.
That StarCraft Ghost, I've been waiting for
that. I mean,
that,
how many times do we have to watch that thing? I mean, if that comes out this year, it's a
miracle.
Like,
how many years at E3 we've seen it?
The cinematic was pretty amazing. But,
well, it was amazing last year, too.
I wasn't there last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was the first time I was seeing it, and it looked pretty damn good, okay? You hear me?
Blizzard's display was hands down, beat the crap out of everyone else's display last year.
Yeah.
It was just stunning. And they had an enormous screen playing
World
of Warcraft.
Their cinematics were amazing last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, let's face it, that was the dominant aspect of their display last year.
The sound was great,
the screen was beautiful. This year they just fell down on the job. For me, the biggest surprise this year was Namco. They actually had a very entertaining display. Again, they had an interesting cross-section of games, including two of my favorite choices for this year, Urban Reign and Soul Calibur 3.
And they had their... People had to wear Pac-Man hats.
Yeah.
Which looked hot as hell.
I have to admit, their entire display as a whole was really surprisingly good. Because I just don't expect anything from Namco, honestly.
Right.
For me, the big loser game of all of E3 this year... has to be The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
It looked horrible.
It looked terrible. The gameplay
It looked like a crappy version of, like, the Lord of the Rings game. Like, a side-scrolling, but with none of the moves, nothing.
The Harry Potter game doesn't look great, and this looks worse than that. So.
Yeah. Right.
The observation I had about it was that it looked like it was trying to be a game for kids in the foreground and the gameplay... and a game for adults in the background. Because they have these really kind of realistic-looking monsters that I assume are just clips from the movie running around the background. And I thought maybe they looked a little too scary for a kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
But the gameplay in the foreground was so ridiculously simple. Like, right. I'm a kid with a stick. I'm going to hit things that are running at me.
Yeah.
Huge. No. And considering the fact they spent a lot of money on this display and stuck it at the front of E3.
Right.
Seemed like a huge mistake to me.
Right.
For me, though, the big winner of E3, and I find it very funny that no one brought it up, is Kingdom Hearts 2. I saw
because
several
I played
for it all
the
over.
First 5 minutes of Kingdom Hearts, and again, I've had an ass full of those Japanese role-playing games where some sword slash body part slash shield slash keys are spread all over the world, and I can't tell if it's a man or woman I'm playing because the gender bender quota is so high up. I mean, I'm completely done with that crap.
And
I couldn't believe
it. It's a Japanese game.
And the dialogue is so insanely idiotic. Gee, I wish I could... I love to dream about things beyond the island. I like to dream about things beyond the island, too. Do you like to dream about things beyond the island? I was like, I can't take this anymore. So I turned it off.
Okay, I mean, I understand that. You got your opinions. But
luckily,
of all the games I saw there, that one had the most steady supply of people. People were walking away from it very enthusiastic. And judging on the performance of the last one, I would guess this one's probably going to be one of the big winners of next year.
Yeah, people were really excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm going to bring up as crazy things that I saw, which I think is a great idea, and I hope they work it into it, is the Nintendo DS demoed a voiceover IP program on the display there, where they just turned the thing into almost a cell phone.
A cell phone, yeah. Over
right
the IP.
There.
Except you see your friend's face as like Mario.
Well, yeah. What they did is they put a Mario there, and when you talk back, it mapped the lips to the voice, so Mario's talking back.
You talked about that at one point, didn't you? Never mind. I thought you mentioned that at some point.
Well, I asked the woman there who's demoing it whether this was coming out as a standalone program or if they were working this into their games, because it's kind of like Xbox Live in a way.
Yeah.
And she said that they don't know. That this was strictly a demo to see, to show that it can work, but even Nintendo right now, doesn't know what they're going to do with it. So I'm hoping they actually do, because it was actually pretty cool. So that was my big thing. Anything else?
That's it.
I have one other thing that I saw at E3 that was a personal highlight for me.
24 of the video game.
I saw Fatality play. You know who this is? He's like the number one cyber athlete.
Fatality, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him play and just destroy somebody, and it was a thing of beauty. He was like shooting people out of the air, like not even trying, and the way he switched weapons, he was playing Unreal, was just a thing of joy to behold, because he would just know which weapon would work in every situation.
Right.
Anyway, that was a highlight for me.
You know, the Frag Dolls were there at Ubisoft, because I think
I heard about that.
And they were playing... Rainbow Six 4, and if you could beat them, you would win like $500.
If you could frag Fatality, you got $2,500.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen.
No, but it was really wonderful.
Cool. Well, I'm done with E3. I'm seriously done with
E3. Yeah, you need to put it away.
I mean, my body still hurts from that. I mean, it's crazy. So, anyway, that's our big E3 special.
Our big, big, big E3 special.
Yeah, I know it took a while, but we saw an awful lot. And
we're being brief, boys.
Yeah, we are being brief. Anyway, we're not going to do any leaks.
No.
Links this time.
No, we're going to be closing this up pretty quick.
Yeah. Let's close it up. We'll see y'all next week.
Well, just so y'all know, we will not be back next week. We're going to be away for one more week. And then we'll be back on our regular schedule.
That's right.
At which point, Lisa will probably be coming back to help us talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Oh, gosh.
And, guys, you got to see Star Wars in 2 weeks, for God's sake.
Because we're going to talk about it.
Then we're going to spill the beans. And Lisa has also agreed, just because some of our female listeners have written in asking that the top 5 men of sci-fi be covered, Lisa will be coming in and covering those emails and putting forward her 5 choices.
That's right. She'll be extensively researching and compiling her list of top 5 geek
I will enjoy the, my
men.
Next 2 weeks of work. Too.
That's right. All right, everybody. Have a good geek week.
Have a most excellent geek week.
Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Virtual Matt, closing off.